of quality metal roofing. The Metal Store is your one-stop shop for all your metal roofing and metal buildings.
The big three is this simple phrase. It is Friday. That means the weekend is upon us.
Woohoo! TGIF.
And it should be a really nice weekend. Maybe some rain mixed in, but still time to get out there on the golf course or get out there in the yard and do some yard work or whatever floats your boat.
The golf course was fantastic yesterday.
Except for my play. I can't criticize another golfer that's a human being. I sucked yesterday. It was so bad.
Missile, I piped a couple yesterday.
Dusty played really good.
You
Dusty
piped
was
a couple?
The golf course. What?
You piped
I mean,
a couple?
Yeah, you know, when you smack a drive right down the middle about 350 yards, that's what we call on the golf course piping it.
Okay.
I didn't know that. I guess there's other references for piping things, but let's just keep it on the golf course, Missile. Get out of your pool drunken orgy mindset, please. Okay? We're gentlemen on a golf course.
Dusty was laying that pipe yesterday.
Which, by the way, the Ultimate was going off on something the other day. Did you know that the Ultimate is trying to get rid of cussing in this world?
No, why?
I mean, he wants to ban cussing on a golf course, which I'm going to tell you, if I couldn't cuss on a golf course, my Lord. I mean, I would say it's probably one of the top places that I would say most people do cuss. You're on a golf course, you had a bad shot. If you can't drop a cuss word, where are we living?
Of the top 10 or 15 obscenity-laced rants that I've ever heard in person, the Ultimate is probably occupying about eight of those spots.
Well, the Ultimate, he was infuriated the other day with the Boston Celtics crowd when they were saying F-U-J-R.
Right.
You know, he wants to rid that from pro sports. And then he went further, and he wants to – it sounded – Missile, I don't want to misquote the Ultimate, but he – of course, it led to Russell Westbrook. But did he say he wanted to start – fining or penalizing players to deter cussing in professional sporting events? Is that what I heard?
I don't know. I wasn't here. That was the day I was in early.
Okay. I apologize. It would have been Matt Meyer. But it was something along those lines. And I just thought, man, so does that mean we're going to do that in everyday life? Like, should we just, maybe the Ultimate could start a movement. Maybe that's how we get teachers paid. We have quarter jars everywhere. And it's like an Oklahoma law. If you cuss in public, you have to submit money into the quarter jar.
You're never going to catch me chanting F you to anyone at any sporting event.
No,
I'm
me
sorry,
neither.
But I don't think that I'm going to try to restrict anyone from doing that either. Does that make me kind of ambivalent? What does it make me? Does that make me soft? What does it make? What does it make me?
I think ambivalent's the right word. It, you know, it doesn't.
I'm not going to try to stop you from being an idiot if you want to be an idiot.
Listen, I don't like morons at sporting events either. Like, you know, guy that's up there cussing his brains out, screaming at Mike Stoops or whatever it may be on that particular afternoon. I'm not saying I'm a fan of that, but at the same time, like, you know, they did pay to get into the stadium.
You can act like an idiot to a certain extent if you pay for your ticket.
I mean, obviously, if you go over the line, you're going to get removed from the place, and therefore you should. But I mean, that's kind of part of the deal, right? And I know I'm not a huge fan. I paid for this ticket, therefore I can say what I want. I'm not fully condoning that. I'm just saying, like, at what point, I mean, freedom of speech is a kind of a big thing in this country, and now we're going to start telling people what they can and can't say. I don't know, for a guy who, you know, leans so far to the right and is all in on, you know, I would say the Constitution and American values, to try to start telling people when they can and can't use cuss words, though you may not like it. I don't know.
There's somebody that
it's kind of un-American.
Dislike more than a guy cussing at a game.
What's that?
It's the guy that's telling you to sit down. Like, because he can't see. All right?
No, you stand up.
That's what I'm saying.
You know what I'm saying?
You stand up if you can't see. If you can't stand up, then there's seats for you that you can buy, that you can go. They don't cost you any extra money. Go to a place where you don't have anybody obstructing your view. And I'm not usually – I don't stand up that much. But if somebody's yelling, sit down. I mean, you, sir, are an idiot. I'm sorry.
It's at a sporting event, yeah, I'm with you. You can't tell someone to sit down. I mean, it can annoy you that you want to sit and everyone else is sitting. But if a fan wants to stand up and be a fan and stand the entire game, they kind of have that right too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, it may annoy you, but at the same time, you can't.
You can lean. You can lean a little left. Lean a little right.
A little left.
You can see.
Mister, do you cuss at sporting events?
Never.
Never?
Never.
Let me ask this, because I don't get a chance to attend a whole lot of games as a fan. I did take my kids and my wife to Bedlam 2 years ago in Norman, the season finale for the Big 12 title when it was kind of rainy. And I will say there was some being up there in the crowd, not necessarily for my kids, but when I hear some of the stuff I hear from fans, it just makes me realize how much they're out of touch with what really is going on. And they point the blame a lot of times in the wrong direction. But at the same time, again, they're able to do it. How much cussing goes on up in the stands when you're at like an OU game or any other, like not being with the media, but just being as in a fan setting?
Almost none.
I can't remember a ton of cussing. I didn't have to cover my kids' ears.
I don't remember. Like, no, I'm being serious. Like, I don't remember at all the games I've gone to. I don't remember any cussing, really.
It's probably spouting off their opinion, but
I'll say this. I wouldn't have paid attention to it if it was.
It's just a four-letter word.
We're poisoning like the mind.
Like other four-letter words. It's just how you use them. I mean, you know.
I was just going to say the little bit that I've been there, again, I hear the fan that's upset, and he's yelling, he's screaming, but I haven't encountered a lot of cursing. I haven't been there either when an entire stadium is chanting F-U-J-R, but I don't think it would really bother me. Like, I guess my thing is this, and I'm getting better now that I'm a parent. I slip from time to time. I can hold my tongue around my kids for the most part. But when I was playing football, I was a bit of a cusser, Mark. And certain times I can still probably use more curse words than what I would like. But with my wife's help, being a parent's help, I definitely have dialed it back a lot in my language. But at the same time, it doesn't like bother me if I'm out in public with my family and I hear somebody use profanity.
Other than satellite disc jockeys, satellite radio DJs, they cuss a lot. You know who cusses more than anyone? Coaches.
There's no question.
Like start talking to a coach, then the F word starts used to be described as an adjective and everything.
Well, and it's definitely a noun.
Right.
Because the F word can definitely, it can be a little bit everything.
Yeah. I don't know why that is. Coaches seem to cuss a lot.
Yeah, they do. It's never bothered me when I've been cussed at. It's never bothered me whenever I heard curse words. But the other day, I was definitely hearing that the ultimate's on a mission. And from what it sounded like, there were some callers that called in
they agree with him?
They agree with him. They want to eradicate cussing in all the sports.
You know what we're going to do in response?
What are we going to do?
We're going to keep these airwaves free from 11 to 2 of any curse words.
Maybe.
Yeah, I think we will.
If we don't, then this one's got the dump button.
Yeah.
That hasn't been a problem for us in 3 years.
We're going on 3.5, buddy.
Probably the 3 years.
Don't forget about the extra half year. Are you excited at all about the Preakness this weekend?
No, I'm not. I am excited to see Justify Run, to see if he can continue to have the greatness that he has so far in his career as a three-year-old. I don't expect much to challenge him. He looked so much the best in that field 2 weeks ago, and now, you know, with only 8 horses in the field, I don't think that there's a whole lot of probability for trouble in the trip and whatnot. So I'm not excited. I hate to tell you that. I apologize.
I feel like I'm
I will be
similar.
Excited for the return of the NBA.
I was really fired up, though, about the Kentucky Derby. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, there's a buildup, and this one's kind of like, it's like we know the ending to the movie, or at least we think we all do, right?
Right.
And the field's so much smaller. I mean, just look at the odds. Nobody's really giving anybody a shot outside of Justify. Mm-hmm. I mean, at this point, it would be a massive upset if he doesn't win.
Right.
So maybe that's worth tuning into.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is about – I mean, the Kentucky Derby is by far the biggest of the three races on the Triple Crown. I guess unless you get to that final race and if Justify still has it.
You know, the Triple Crown has, I think, died significantly in terms of importance because it's been defeated, you know, here recently. It happened for the first time in over 40 years. And so now I think there's more preservation of the horse. Right, it's not. I mean, because everybody used to think, okay, can it happen again? Horse racing has changed. These horses are babied a lot more. They're not used to running 3 times in 5 weeks. Is there any way a horse of today's age can win the Triple Crown? And now we have the answer to that. I think now jockeys, trainers are going to be very cautious with horses, and they're not going to try just to win the Triple Crown. That's why I think Bob Baffert. There's no way he's going to send this horse to post if there's any kind of injury concern for him at all.
You're right. I do want to go back though because though I'm not as intrigued by the Preakness. I was very intrigued by the Kentucky Derby, the horse that I thought was going to win one, and it sounded a little bit like this.
Justify, a two-length lead as they come to the final 16th. Good Magic on the outside is second. Audible third toward the inside. Then Instilled Regard, they're coming to the wire. He's just awesome! Justify has won the Kentucky Derby! In a final time of 2 minutes, 4.20 seconds, he's still undefeated!
Great call on the Kentucky Derby.
Had a serious announcer voice.
He was awesome!
Justify!
Awesome, baby!
With a capital A.
That was beautiful.
But he was awesome. I mean, I couldn't put it in quite that good a form, but when I was sitting there watching, I kind of felt the same way he was sounding because it was an awesome horse. And I think that's why everybody's kind of just feels like
there wasn't a whole lot of ground being made up on him in the stretch.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Whenever he decided to, he definitely kicked it in. So you mentioned we have basketball. The game coming up on Saturday will be my Cleveland Cavaliers against Mark's Boston Celtics. By the way, I can already tell what you've done here. You've completely thrown Cleveland out. You continue to talk about they're ready to go fishing, they're ready to go on vacation, they're ready to do all these different things. J.R. Smith, he's the key, but J.R. Smith talked about what the Cleveland Cavaliers have to do if they're going
to
win.
We have to ramp it up. We're playing too slow. We're making Bron play hero ball, which is tough to do, especially in the Eastern Conference Finals. We gotta help him.
I don't think that series is over.
He says we. He needs to say I. I gotta help him. I've been terrible. 2 for 16 in the series. He hasn't hit a 3-point shot. When he gets back home, role players have to step their game up. It starts with J.R. Smith.
I don't think that series is over. I think that they've got a chance. Again, the series doesn't start till the road team wins.
Okay.
So they've got to go back to Cleveland. If they can win two on their home floor where they played much better in the playoffs, Boston played much worse on the road in the playoffs, then it gets to a 3-game series, and that means LeBron has one super game and you're out.
Okay, listen. You can't sit on the fence any longer. I've got Cleveland going to come back and win this series, and that record that's 37-0 for Boston
– yeah.
Being up 2-0 in the playoffs, going to be 37-1.
Okay.
What do you say right now?
I think Boston's going to win.
Okay. That's what I thought. See? Yeah. I could tell.
But it's not
switched.
Over. The Warriors Rockets is over.
You flip.
Over. Warriors Rockets is over. I agree with Stephen A. Smith.
You agree with
Stephen A. Smith? Do you agree with me?
Number one, the manner in which they attacked Steph Curry. And number two, how this team looked when James Harden went out the game early in the first half, because then the ball was moving more. Nobody was just touching it and holding on to it. I'm looking at the Houston Rockets, and I'm saying, my God, if this is who they are going to take out the Golden State Warriors. The thing is, you have to do that 4 times in a series, and I don't know if they can do what I saw them do last night.
That means P.J. Tucker, Trevor Ariza, Eric Gordon knocking down a bunch of shots. That's exactly what that means.
Well, again, I don't think they have to hit as many as they hit the other night, but they obviously have to be key contributors if they're going to go on the road and take one of these at Oracle. It's not likely, but I do think it's very possible. And I think it's more likely I look at Game 4 more so than look at Game 3. It just seems like after getting kicked around the way that Golden State did in Game 2 – They're gonna have a bounce back performance, I would think, Sunday. The game for Houston is still, I would think, is gonna be Game 4.
Are you going to be getting up early for the royal wedding tomorrow?
Hey, I have been checking out some stuff on this royal wedding.
You have?
I'm mildly intrigued by it.
Okay. What are you intrigued by? Are you intrigued by the fact that
Meghan Markle?
Meghan Markle.
Uh-huh.
Correct.
I was reading a bunch of different things on who's going to design her dress.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of got me a little bit intrigued.
What about that her dad had a heart attack last week because of all of this family drama going on, whether he was going to be able to walk her down the aisle and whatnot?
Yeah, because it's Prince Charles is going to walk her down the aisle?
She's going to walk part of the way herself. And then Prince Charles is going to walk her the rest of the way.
These are
– Give me some odds
these
on
are,
this.
These are good problems to have, but can you imagine the pressure that comes with being, you know, a queen, a princess?
No, I can't.
I'm being serious. Like, to go from America to now, like, just – I don't know.
I don't think she gives an F. So tell me –
Once
give
she's
me some
married
odds,
in, she
Give
should.
Me some odds on this marriage
what
lasting.
What kind of prenup is that?
I don't know.
I bet the royal family, it's the most stringent ironclad prenup there probably is.
Will you give me 3-1 odds that this does not last?
I don't want to bet against a beautiful,
you don't have to, I will.
A beautiful marriage. You saying it's not true love?
It seems like an odd grouping, pairing.
Well, I mean, I kind of like that. Opposites attract, Mark. I was a Neanderthal. My wife was a sweet, innocent nurse. If you would have seen us together in college, you would have thought, God almighty.
I wouldn't have bet against you guys. This is just one that I can look at and think that it's probably not going to last.
If I'm Meghan Markle, and I've wed into the royal family, if there's a very stringent, which I would think prenup, I'm doing whatever I can to stay in that family. I mean, that's got to be a good living. It's got to be tough to deal with all the crap.
I think that's a pretty good living.
All the proper things you probably have to do, but, I mean, we'll have to look it up. I can't even imagine what the royal family's worth. I mean, money's probably not even an object or anything you even think
yeah,
or worry
it's
about.
Definitely not. I don't think money matters. I think it's just it's the
you get what you want, right?
Right. You just do whatever you need to do, whatever you want.
Do they even have – do you think they have, like, you know, there's a black card? Is there, like, a card that's, like, royal family? You just, like, you put whatever you want on it?
It's like going to dinner with Al. Everybody recognizes you.
That's right.
You don't need a card.
No, you don't. Okay, we are.
Let me know how that wedding goes.
You're not gonna check it out?
Probably not. Text me. We'll see if I'm up.
Well, I probably won't be up for it, but I'll look on Twitter for all the highlights. I'm at Country Equipment today, 8901 South I-35 here in Oklahoma City. Kubota tractors, Polaris ATV, side-by-sides, mowers, and edgers. They've got a little bit of everything here. They've got all the equipment a customer is going to need to maintain an acreage or a range. And customers can get 0% APR financing for 60 months on certain Kubota tractors. It's the number one destination for Kubota tractors. That time of year, ladies and gentlemen, if you're working outside, they've got some great mowers, some great Kubota mowers right here. Come by and check everything out. By the way, we've got Qdoba Mexican Eats providing lunch. We appreciate them. And, again, we appreciate Country Equipment here at 8901 South I-35. A lot of talk about Kyler Murray. Is he going to play football? Will he get drafted in the Major League Baseball draft? We're bringing in an expert, Josh Fields, former Oklahoma State Cowboy quarterback, as well as a first-round draft pick in baseball to the Chicago White Sox. We chat with him next. Edger, they've got it all. We'll tell you more throughout the day as we make way for our next guest, a man that knows a thing or two about both the football field and the baseball field, currently a scout for the Japanese League that's the affiliate with the New York Yankees. You know him as Oklahoma State starting quarterback in the early 2000s and a first-round draft pick by the Chicago White Sox, Mr. Josh Fields. How you doing, Josh?
I'm doing great, guys. How are you guys?
Good, man. We always enjoy having you on, so really appreciate you taking the time today. Everybody's kind of been on Kyler Murray watch around here, and I pulled something up on SB Nation, and they had said, you know, who better to talk about Kyler Murray than a guy who's been in this spot before, and they had interviewed you, and I thought, well, heck, I got to reach out. We got to interview this guy. So you've been through this process, Josh. Like, for you and just your situation, it's a little bit different for Kyler, but how hard was that decision for you to not come back your senior year and to take the money and be a first-round pick to the Chicago White Sox?
You know, I mean, your teammates and obviously growing up in Stillwater, going to college there, you know, I had people around me supporting me for a really long time. Those were the kind of the external, you know, things that went into making, you know, my decision. Didn't, you know, you start thinking about you don't want to disappoint people, you don't want to disappoint your teammates. And things like that. But at the end of the day, that was kind of the first time that I had ran into the situation of, hey, this is about my future, my career, and you kind of have to, you know, get a little selfish when it comes down to making this decision.
If a team drafts Murray in the top three rounds, how hard will they pressure him to forego any other sport and want him to begin to play baseball right now rather than allowing him to play both sports?
I'd say if he's in the first two rounds, they're gonna basically say, you know, it's time to drop football and really focus in on your baseball career. You know, that at that point they're investing quite a bit of money into his future and his development, and I think that they'll, you know, the third round he might be able to get away with maybe signing and coming back and playing one more year, but I definitely think that the first two, which I think he's kind of projected in, you know, they're gonna say, hey, it's time to start your Pro Bowl career.
So how does that work? When will those conversations begin, Josh? Just to give people a timeline, I think I'd seen the drafts coming up the second week of June. Will teams start to put feelers out and reach out to him and his family to gauge his interest well beforehand, or will that be a draft day type thing?
I'm pretty sure that, you know, they've been doing their research all year long, and hopefully he has a good advisor that's helping him along, you know, through this process. And so they'll be asking a lot. It's a lot different now than it was, you know, when I was going through, because there's actually, you know, there's penalties for drafting guys and then they don't sign and different things like that. So there's a lot more background research that's going into it nowadays. And basically, I would say that if you're watching on draft day and he gets drafted, that it's very highly likely that he's going to sign and go, because they've done the research and know that that's, you know, they already know that that's the path that he wants to take.
Every time you turn around, his draft stock's going up. I mean, I don't know how much higher that it can go, but Josh, what are his strengths and why is he so appealing after his results this season to Major League Baseball teams?
Yeah, I think he's typically, I would say he's probably one of the fastest guys on the field every single time. I've watched him a handful of times, so I'm going off what I've seen a couple times and then what I've heard. I mean, he's hitting four hole. He runs like a leadoff guy, plays center field. He obviously has a strong arm. So, you know, in baseball, those are all the tools that they're looking for. And, you know, obviously a high caliber athlete. And it's a sport that is forgiving of size. And I think that when you're looking at, you know, kind of comparing him between football and baseball, 5'11 plays, well, he's listed at 5'11, so I would assume that that would be more 5'10-ish. That plays a lot more in baseball than it does in football. And so I just think, you know, when you're drafting tools for younger guys, and he definitely has all the tools that teams are looking for.
Talking with Josh Fields, former Oklahoma State quarterback and first-round draft pick of the Chicago White Sox. Also, Scott, what's the affiliate you're with of the Yankees? What's your affiliation with the Japanese team?
So I'm with the Tokyo Giants, which we're, I would say, a pretty well-known team in Japan. And as far as affiliated with the Yankees, we're the sister club. So we work with the Yankees and basically emulate everything that they do over here in Japan.
When are the Kintetsu Buffaloes going to retire Traber's number over there? Will you be willing to lead the charge?
I don't know. From the videos that I've seen, he was always the one leading the charge.
Nice.
Well said.
I like it.
Well done. Hey, so I want you to look. There it is, little Benny Hill.
The ultimate is off and running.
You know, Jim's talked about this some, but I think you can even speak to this even more so because you were a starter for multiple seasons there at Oklahoma State. Tell me about, because, you know, Kyler, though he had a cup of coffee at A&M playing quarterback, I mean, this guy was a high-level elite quarterback, won two state championships, never lost a game in the state of Texas. Talk to me about what it's like to play big-time college football and be the face of a program, be that starting quarterback as compared to playing baseball. And, you know, obviously that's something that Kyler's going to have to weigh, but walk us through what that was like, just kind of the differences between the two.
I mean, you know, you obviously in the major leagues, it's a dream come true for a guy like me, which where baseball was always kind of where my heart was, even through playing, you know, college football. So, you know, but the way that the publicity in Oklahoma with there not being any NFL teams, and so basically both colleges becoming, you know, kind of rising up in the media, and you get treated as if, you know, kind of you're in the NFL even when you're in college. I would assume you would know more about that than I would. You know, but it equals to, you know, the treatment in the major leagues as far as, you know, with media on a daily basis, you know, going out and, you know, to a restaurant or just wherever you are and getting, you know, noticed and different things like that. So, you know, like I've said before and a couple of people have asked, it sounds really cliche, but it will come down to, you know, what he wants to do, what's in his heart. You know, he might want to forgo all of the logical reasons to go play Major League Baseball because he really loves to play football. And if that's the case, then I'm sure he'll make a decision to come back and, you know, showcase all his ability, you know, at a really good football school.
Hey, Josh, if you were advising him, obviously with not knowing all the intricate details, would that be the advice? Follow your heart, do what you're passionate about above all else because baseball's still there. I mean, would that be kind of the way, you know, if he called you and said, Josh, you've been through this, give me some advice. What would you say to Kyler Murray?
I think at the end of the day, you know, you do have to, you know, do what you're passionate about because you're going to be more successful in the long run, you know, doing what you enjoy. You know, if you enjoy showing up to the baseball park and that's, you know, and that's what he wants to do, I'd definitely say, you know, go, you know, see what path or see where you go in the draft and follow that. But if he enjoys showing up to the football locker room, you know, watching film and then, you know, hanging out with the team and stuff, if that's something that he, you know, likes to do more, it's going to be a hard path to sign in the baseball draft. And you're going to be sitting there, you know, always watching games on Sundays, wondering, you know, maybe I could be doing that or something like, you know, could be watching games on Saturdays and thinking, ah, I could have, you know, led the Sooners to another national championship. And that's, you know, that's something that's going to affect his performance on the baseball field if he's always looking back and stuff. So I would definitely say, you know, look at everything logically, you know, and then just as far as I am personally, and I'm sure everyone's given him their own personal opinion. I think, you know, probably have a little bit longer career and given a couple more shots with Major League Baseball than he might be with football. You know, a guy like him, you know, typically probably gets to the NFL and gets turned into like a slot back or something like that, a slot receiver. But, you know, if, like I said, he really does have to follow his heart because at the end of the day, he could get drafted, go in baseball just because the money's right and it sounds good. And he's miserable because he always, you know, wanted to go play football.
OSU's two games, or their magic number's two to clinch the Big 12 regular season title. It looks to me like they've got a team that might set up very well for a regional, super regional play.
I hope so, man. I know that, you know, they have been pretty incredible how, you know, they've gone about this season winning with the injury specifically to their, you know, starting rotation and a couple of their big-time pitchers that they have. So I'm excited that they are where they are. They're giving themselves a shot. I feel like that coaching staff is second to none up there. And it's always exciting to be able to follow your alma mater when they're good. And, you know, probably the feeling you get watching football, Dusty, you get to follow a good team every single fall. And I get excited to see these guys get into the playoffs.
I can tell you this, in an NFL locker room, it's always nice when your alma mater is playing well. Because you can beat your chest, and if they're not, everybody's going to let you know about it. So yeah. There's no question. Hey, last thing I have, just kind of on OSU, I know Jim was very excited and passionate about it, and he talked about it, but those new facilities look pretty unbelievable. It's got to make you pretty excited as an alumni.
Everyone you talk to is talking about it. It's only about 20 years overdue, and so, you know, that's what makes it even more exciting for us. And I know, you know, just from being up around, you know, the facility and with Josh, you know, he is a firm believer that, you know, they're doing everything that they can right now. They're establishing, you know, OSU baseball back to what it used to be and what people thought about it. And adding this facility is hopefully the next step just to take it to that next level and be where they want to be of, you know, obviously making it to the College World Series, or at least be a contender every single year.
Great stuff, Josh. Really appreciate the insight and having you on today. Thanks, man, and get back to doing some scouting already, man. You already had too much time off.
Yeah, the weather's finally turning, so it makes it for a little bit.
You got to find the next Jim Traber for the Tokyo Giants.
I don't want to get fired.
See you, man. Great stuff. Josh Fields, former Oklahoma State quarterback, first-round pick of the Chicago White Sox. A man that's been in that spot, and he's still so dialed in with baseball, being a scout, definitely knows a thing or two about the situation.
One thing I took away from it, though, is that what he said was his passion was baseball.
That's right.
Well, I don't know what Kyler Murray's passion is. It may be football.
And I think that's – we'll talk about it on the other side. We've got to hit a break. We're here today at Country Equipment, 8901 South I-35. We'll continue that discussion as well as possibly some thoughts from Terrell Owens. Keep it here on the Monsters of the Midday. I'm from three, got to the rim.
So are the rest of the others of the Rockets.
But Eric Gordon, Missile, correct me if I'm wrong, he's struggled this postseason. Like, I mean, because, I mean, he's been a great sixth man for them the last couple of years, but this postseason, I mean, he's really been disappointing, has he not?
Yeah, he got off to a slow start this postseason. Absolutely.
So maybe maybe that was a bit of an igniter.
Is Mba Moute done?
I hope so.
For getting out there? I don't think they can play Nene. I don't think they can play Mba Moute.
I think they're going to have to. They're going to
have to play him.
Yeah, I mean, he's still a really good defender. I know he hadn't been able to shoot well, but, I mean, it's him or Gerald Green, basically.
Gets that spot. He not shoot well, he can't play offense, period.
Well, he really struggled finishing at the rim.
Right, that's, I mean.
Really struggled.
Much less than take a shot. He can't even put back a rebound.
Yeah, but I think part of it, yeah, if he's too hurt, they're going to sit him. But I think part of it is, I think they have confidence that he's going to be able to do it. He's been doing it all year. He's been making those layups. He's been making those corner threes.
I'm not playing him. I think he, to me, looks a lot worse right now than he did any time during the regular season, when I think at times he's been very effective, and I get the defensive value there, but I think you take away too much. This series, you can't just say, we're going to defend the Warriors and win. You've got to play offense.
Who else are you going to put in for him, though? They played about six people last game, basically.
I think
and
that's
Bob Moute would
do.
Be the seventh. I mean, it'd have to be Gerald Green.
I think Gerald Green is a guy. I mean, I think I know he's not. It's not optimal what you'd like to be, but I don't think you want to put a guy back out there that's going to continue to hurt you the way that he did in that game. I mean, Gerald Green is good enough to put back misses and hit threes and do some things like that. So I don't. I think that you've got to be able to make that move.
I would. I think Mba Moute still gets some minutes. I'd still play him. I'd hope that he makes it. I mean, if he doesn't, then you got to pull him.
He only played 7 minutes the other night, and I think that's what we saw, right? That he continued to struggle, so he got the hook. Until late in the game.
I mean, that's what it is. I mean, and Mba Moute was such a big part of this Rockets team all regular season.
Defensively,
that if he's healthy,
for sure, right?
Yeah, defensively and even offensively. He was good coming off the bench for him. And that part of that is that the Rockets, you know, they saw it all year, and if he's healthy, they expect him to play well. And he just hasn't so far.
He's been like, close my eyes, I can't watch bad, though, trying to make shots. I mean, like,
it's been bad. It has been bad. I'm not going to deny that. I mean, he's missed every layup at the rim this series.
And there was one the other day that he didn't even come close to the rim. He had, like, the size of backboard.
I'm not playing him. I mean, 7 minutes, you can overcome that. I think that you just can't put him out there.
Here's one thing I will say. I would agree with what Missile's saying, and Missile's watched this team all year, so I trust his judgment. I do think that you put him out there, but it's if you put him out there and you can clearly tell he doesn't have it and he's going to be a complete liability as he's been offensively, he's done. But I do think you probably at least he's earned that right throughout the course of the year. But it better be a quick hook. I'm not leaving him in there for an extended amount of time. Hey, you know what I was thinking about after talking with Josh Fields, which appreciate him hopping on with us. But we know and we talk with three different former Oklahoma State quarterbacks who are all also professional baseball players. Pretty interesting.
Yeah, that is very interesting.
I don't know a lot of other starting quarterbacks anywhere that were also Major League Baseball players. So we got Josh Fields, Brandon Whedon, the Ultimate. The Ultimate started a trend back in the day. Just took a while for it to, it wasn't a trend.
Has there been any else? Ronnie Williams was a quarterback at Oklahoma State back in the day, then converted to an NFL tight end.
You get me lying. I don't know. I was just, anyway, back to his thoughts, though, on Kyler Murray. I think that's the right advice. I mean, I really do that, and it's easy for me to say. There's going to be a lot of money sitting there, but I think with this opportunity right in front of you here at Oklahoma, the fact that you'll come back, you'll still be a junior next year in baseball, depending on what his true passion is, I would have to think that, I mean, that's how you base this decision, right, on what you want to do, on if your whole life you have worked to put yourself in position to be a top-level quarterback, and now you're right here on the front door of that, it's hard to say no to that kind of money and that kind of opportunity, but at the same time, it's not like it's completely gone. You know what I'm saying? So if you do want to, if you do want to take advantage of this opportunity of something you've always wanted to do, if that's what it is to play quarterback, that's what I've been told it is, then you would think that that's, I think what Josh Fields said, the advice he gave is right. You're going to be looking over your shoulder, second-guessing yourself, thinking about, man, Should I have done that? What if I would have done that? You don't get that opportunity to go back and do that, whereas you do get the opportunity to go through this whole process with the Major League Baseball draft again next year. Easy for me to say. I'm not the one that's going to put my body at risk, and you do have the chance to lose all that money that's being offered to you right there if something bad were to happen. So it's easy for someone in my seat to say that, but for a guy who's been in that same seat, and for him it was baseball, that was his passion, I thought that was good advice from
I think it's going to go down like this. And this is the way that I think anybody looks at situations when it comes to what will your profession be or what am I going to do to feed my family or make money or have a living. At the end of this, no matter how bad or how cool it is to be the mayor of the Strip in Stillwater, which I'm sure Josh Fields was in 2001 and 2002.
He had to be. He took down Oklahoma.
Of course, no doubt. No matter how much Kyler Murray wants to play football, that on paper, if there's a team in Major League Baseball that's going to offer him, basically a $2 million deal to go play that sport, which he is most suited for, right?
Yes,
this
he
is his best sport,
100% professionally.
He's going to take that deal 8 days a week. So, for Oklahoma, the Oklahoma football team personnel, whatever, to get in the rah-rah land of, this kid really wants to play football. His dad wants to see him play football. You can't explain what it means to be the quarterback at OU. All those are frivolous compared to what you're going to do to make the best decision for your career, which is baseball. So I think they're kidding themselves if they think that the decision is going to be anything other than baseball if this kid's a first-round draft pick.
You know, I'm not going to say you're wrong. I'm just not as convicted as you are.
I got it.
Because I don't
– put it on black and white piece of paper.
I understand. But, I mean, the part that I think that you also have to look at is – he could still be a first-round pick next year, no? I mean, coming out of high school, he was the 46th-rated player.
His stock could fall.
Of course it could fall. There's no question. It's a guarantee today. But all I'm saying is if he does have that desire to want to play football, to want to be a quarterback and give that an option, again, it's not like you're saying I'm choosing football and there's no opportunity for what you're talking about in accordance with it. Again, all I'm saying is this. I don't know. I don't know what he really wants to do. I fully agree, and that's why I've said the whole time. It's easy to say this is what you want to do. I have a passion for it. This is what I've always wanted to do is play quarterback, and now I'm going to do it at Oklahoma. And then someone calls you, and that money's there. But I'm not convicted that he's definitely going to take the money. I think it would be a tough choice and for a tough young person not to become an instant millionaire after Uncle Sam hits it and you get some taken away. You're not going to be taking them $2 million, but still, what a great way to start your professional life, which you likely will not have that opportunity in football. So it sounds like you're pretty convicted. If it's going to be that high, he's out?
Yep.
I'm not quite there. I still lean that I think, if you're asking me today, I'm not convicted. But I'm leaning towards I think he'll be back to play football. But it's obviously either way is not going to shock me at this point because and no one should be upset. I mean, this is fully his decision. And if he wants to go play baseball, go play baseball. My biggest thing, though, and I'll repeat what I said earlier and Tram wrote about it, if he's going to play football next season, he's got to be all in starting the summer. Do you agree with that?
Yeah.
He can't go play in the Cape Cod League. He can't go play baseball while Austin Kendall's here running summer workouts and doing Pascal each week. If you're committed to playing football, you got to put baseball on hold, I would say, as soon as this college baseball season is over, and you got to be fully dialed in at football.
That makes no sense to me. Here's why. You're not going to go play in the Cape Cod League if you're a first-round pick. I mean, at that point, you need to make up your mind. You know what I'm saying? If you're going to say, I'm going to play in the Cape Cod League and I'm not going to be
– Well, you played in it last year.
But if you're a first-round pick, Why would you go play in the Cape Cod League?
I'm saying that he decided he's going to play football, but he's going to continue to play baseball in the summer. I'm saying you can't do that like he did last year.
If he wants to go play in the Cape Cod League, why not take $2 million and play in the big leagues?
All I'm saying is if you're going to play football, you got to be committed to playing football. All right, we got to take a break. We'll tell you more about here at Country Equipment when we get back here on the Monsters of the Midday. You taking you into the weekend from Country Equipment here at 8901 South I-35 in Oklahoma City. Kubota tractors, Polaris ATVs, side-by-sides, mowers, and edgers. Been in business for over 20 years, and they've got just about all the equipment a customer could possibly need to maintain acreage or a ranch. And customers can get 0% APR financing for 60 months to buy certain Kubota tractors. Number one destination for Kubota tractors right here at Country Equipment. Spring sales event going on now. Customers can get a Kubota tractor package, which includes front end loader, cutter, box blade, and trailer. Cost just $21,900. It's all here at Country Equipment. And we've got Qdoba. Mark's joined some Qdoba. Come enjoy some
Excellent. Lunch.
It's on us right here at Country Equipment. Let's wrap up. I don't want to spend much more time on this, but I guess all I'm saying, and you're right, maybe he wouldn't go play in a Cape Cod League or whatever, and you wouldn't really have to worry about if he got drafted, the team wanted him to go play, because like Josh told us, if he gets drafted in the first or second round, which is what it sounds like he will, that will mean that he's told teams he's not playing football. And that will mean that his football career is likely over. At this point, we kind of both agree if he's not drafted in the first or second round, that's because he's let those teams know he wants to play football. So a bit of a waiting game. We'll find out more. Whatever he does this upcoming fall, he needs to be 100% all in, singular focus on that sport, whether it's being a pro in Major League Baseball, working his way through the minor league system, or whether it's, you know, through the summer months into fall camp, being the quarterback at Oklahoma, but it's primarily through the summer. I think that is a huge, huge piece for whoever the quarterback's going to be to establish their leadership, to be that guy in the summer through Pascelli, through the tough workouts, through the summer's heat. That's the piece that Barry wrote about today that I definitely agree with.
Have you heard anything about Spencer Rattler that's coming in?
I know they like him a lot, but top dual threat quarterback in the country. It'll be 2019 class.
No, he's coming in this year. He's a kid from Waco. No, okay. No, 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 no.
That's Mordecai. Tanner Mordecai.
Yeah, what do they think of Mordecai?
Spencer Rattler.
No, you're right. Right. What do they think of the Tanner Mordecai?
I think they like Tanner Mordecai. I don't know. I'm not going to tell you that I know a whole lot about Tanner Mordecai. He's not here yet.
Right. He's not even out of high school.
I think he's probably more of a – I don't know if he's got the same mobility that Kyler Murray has, but I think he's probably a decent athlete. I know that they like his arm, and Lincoln Riley wasn't going to recruit him and offer him a scholarship unless he liked him quite a bit. But for me to give any type of assessment without him even being on campus yet, I don't know. I would have to think he's quite a bit behind Kyler Murray and Austin Kendall. They have raved about Spencer Rattler, but again, that's
another year.
Yeah, and I think that my guess would be a guy like him, so highly touted, most of those guys come in January. So I think potentially he could be on campus next January as an early enrollee. But, I mean, I would be really surprised if Kyler Murray does go play Major League Baseball, if he gets drafted and he opts that decision. I mean, I don't think I would be surprised if there was any kind of quarterback battle between Austin Kendall and Tanner Mordecai.
Correct.
I mean, it's Austin Kendall's
backup.
Him or one of the other guys. I mean, what you throwing out McGinnis?
Connor McGinnis.
McGinnis.
I've always loved Connor McGinnis.
I'm a fan of Connor McGinnis. I'm a big fan of his father's. He's fixed quite a few different pieces of my body. Excellent surgeon here in Oklahoma City. But anyway, it is very interesting. What I didn't like about Barry's article is he basically was insinuating that this would likely be the last time we'll see we'll see a quarterback that plays another sport, because it puts a place like Oklahoma or a college football program in peril to a degree. I think it always depends on how talented the player is. Because if a kid is talented enough to handle multiple responsibilities, it can be a strain. But, again, talent trumps all. So I don't agree with that assertion that Barry makes in his piece today.
Do you think that if a player is a superstar, which for the most time quarterback, And then he also plays baseball, that you're going to be the school that says, hey, we have a no football, we have a football only policy here.
Good luck.
That's not the way it works.
Good luck. I don't think that's, that'll be the case, whatsoever. Speaking of football, I thought this was interesting. Jason Garrett in the Crosshairs. I'm sure it'll be part of what would surprise me if we hear more about this later on today. But Terrell Owens, he was on Sports Talk Radio in Dallas yesterday. And the former Cowboys wide receiver for 3 years in the late, early 2000s, he had some choice words for Cowboys head coach Jason Garrett.
Boils down to players being the scapegoat for his inability to lead the team as he should. For me, it's mind-boggling. I don't understand it. And I think Jerry, again, he's the owner. At the end of the day, he has to feel good with himself about the decisions. I just don't understand why this guy still has a job.
I mean, it's very simple why he has a job. I mean, this is so simple. I mean, if you need to know, T.O., call us up here in Oklahoma City. I'll tell you why. Because he is Jerry Jones's boy. Jerry Jones has loved this guy since he's been a backup quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys for all those years. He has been overpaying Jason Garrett, basically keeping him on staff on retainer for quite some time. There are other places that wanted Jason Garrett. He was paying him like $3 million to be a coordinator. Mark, he loves Jason Garrett. He believes in Jason Garrett, probably to a fault. I don't think Jason Garrett is some amazing coach. I think he's an okay coach. I don't think that the personnel decisions that have been made over the last 20 years have been on the up and up, which are a lot of Jerry. I like that Steven has taken over here in the last probably 7 to 8 years. I think the picks and the roster is starting to get quite a bit better. I trust Steven more than I trust Jerry about making decisions on drafts and bringing in free agents. So I think that's in the right direction. But like I told you earlier, here's my whole thing on Jason Garrett, why it doesn't bother me that he has not been fired. And his record 68-55. He is 13 games over 500. But as long as Jerry Jones is alive, and all Cowboys fans know this, this isn't some crazy secret, but as long as Jerry Jones is alive, owning the Dallas Cowboys, he's not going to bring in a coach that is going to defy him or not adhere to what he wants done. Now, I understand and I recognize that's not the way you should run a business. The owner should not be running the team. The head coach should be running the team. The owner should sit back, in my opinion, and own the team, allow the people he's employed to do their job. But that ain't Jerry Jones. And if you've been a Cowboys fan your whole life like me, you understand that. So they could fire Jason Garrett, but we've seen when a strong-minded head coach that wants to do things his way, what happens? Jimmy Johnson. You're out of here, even though you won multiple Super Bowls. Bill Parcells finally had it going in the right direction. You're out of here. He wants guys in that spot that he can control and that are not going to veer off and go against anything that Jerry Jones wants. Right, wrong, or indifferent, it is what it is. It's the way the Cowboys are constructed so long as Jerry Jones is alive, well, and running this organization. So I would just love to know from T.O., who are you going to bring in? Who you want to fire Jason Garrett? Who are you going to go get where you're going to expect different results? Because I just don't think it exists out there.
Can I hear that one more time? Can I hear T.O. one more time?
It all boils down to players being the scapegoat for his inability to lead the team as he should. For me, it's mind-boggling. I don't understand it. And I think Jerry, again, he's the owner. At the end of the day, he has to feel good with himself about the decisions. I just don't understand why this guy still has a job.
T.O., I think I've wasted my time listening to you, because if you're going to be the guy that says that the players are needed to be led, that's insane. I mean, there's a lot of culpability on the players in Dallas, too. It's not the head coach's fault. That's ridiculous. I mean, for T.O. to go back and blame it on the coach, the failures of that team is stupid. I mean, I think T.O. is ridiculous on that. But at the same time, I think the Cowboys might be a better team if they had a better coach. But, Dusty, all those points that you made – are reasons to believe that it's kind of out of the coach's hands. So Jason Garrett, I was never impressed with his time management skills. He blew a couple of games a few seasons back with his ability to manage the game. It's almost like he's a little bit of a dead set on the team, but I think that's by design.
Terrell Owens, by the way, let's not forget, while he's a Hall of Fame player, a fantastic talent, was a turd in the locker room. I mean, he destroyed locker rooms.
He's got no credibility.
Everywhere
the coach.
He went. So not surprising that now, after being a locker room killer his entire career, he wants to try to be a coach killer from the outside looking in. But I thought this was so T.O. This is so T.O., and it actually it brought it full circle, and it made me – I can't even be upset with T.O. about his comments because T.O.'s always thinking about himself. Listen to what T.O. – T.O. was asked during this interview who his favorite head coach was, and he says, that's a slam dunk. Andy Reid is by far the best coach. You got to love that, Mark. Best coach that I've ever had. And I say that because he realized the talent that I had, and he utilized me to the best of my abilities. Is it not always about the me, the I with Terrell Owens? Like, I don't care what else he did for other people. I know that this dude saw the talent in me, and he made me a star. He's the best that there ever was. I just thought that was so T.O. So T.O.
Yeah, that's why I don't think his words have any credibility at all. None.
Dude was fantastic.
His opinion of Jason Garrett to me is irrelevant. Irrelevant. He can't get out of his own way, his own myopic view of things.
I will say, Jason Garrett, he after a 12-4 year in 14, he signed a 5-year deal. He's been at the Cowboys 7 years now, and he'll be going into the fourth year of his 5-year deal next year. Typically, you know, throughout the course of the season or after the season, you don't see a lot of head coaches go into a lame duck year. There'll either be an extension or a firing. I will say. Even though Jerry loves Jason Garrett, he can control him. It's been his boy for a long time. This is a big year for the Dallas Cowboys. This is a big year for Jason Garrett.
Jerry wants to win. I think Jerry would do anything if it convinced himself that they were going to have a better chance of winning.
Other than removing himself.
Cowboys draft history is, well, he's not going to see it like that. There's no chance.
Well, you just said he'd do anything. I'm just saying that I think most Cowboy fans, that would be the first thing that we would hope for.
He's never going to look in the mirror and see anything other than football god.
Listen, he is a business mastermind. Dude can make money with the best of them. But a football guru, I've never been able to go there.
Their draft have been better. It's not been perfect, but their draft has been better in the last few seasons.
Stephen Jones.
It's not been perfect, but it's been better.
Stephen Jones.
I don't even think I'd say it's been above average. But compared to what it had been for a while, that's good.
Jason Garrett has been to the playoffs twice, and he did get that one playoff win over the Detroit Lions, but clearly they're expecting more in Big D. There's no doubt. I'm not going to laud just making the playoffs twice in 7 years is something great in the National Football League. But T.O. wanted to know why he hasn't been fired. That's why he hasn't been fired. That's Jerry's guy, and he can control Jason, plain and simple. There's really no other reason to it.
T.O. just quit on some one of those MTV challenges. That guy, his stock should be way too low even to be on a sports radio interview.
I would probably agree with that. Other than the fact that he is going to Canton, Ohio. And Marcus, I didn't show you this, but I got my invites. I've got to buy like a $500 ticket for Canton, for me and Lacey.
For what?
All the different events that are going to go on. You know, Brian's going in, and so he's having a – we're at Thursday night's a big party.
Oh,
Friday night's a big dinner, and we got all these different things. But you got to buy tickets to all the different events.
Shell it out. That'd be fun.
I'm gonna have to. Canton, Ohio, early August. The Monsters of the Midday will be present. We're present today at Country Equipment, 8901 South I-35 in Oklahoma City. We discuss the NBA with Royce Young of ESPN next.
Kuznetsov, no icing around the boards to Carlson. They won't have time. Cirelli plays to the empty, then he scores! With 1 second to go, the Tampa Bay Lightning have clinched victory and have tied this series.
Lightning win last night 4-2 as they're taking on the Washington Capitals on the road to get a 4-2 win. And as you heard there, the series tied 2 games apiece.
Road team 4-0 in that series.
Very, very interesting. We're here today at Country Equipment. We now are on the phone lines with Mr. Royce Young of ESPN. How you doing, Royce?
I'm doing excellent today, my friends. How are you guys?
We're doing fantastic. Okay, there was one thing I wanted to ask you. I think I let you off the hook the other day. We're having a discussion about James Harden. It's a happy Friday, so we're not trying to peel back too many layers of the onion. But there have been a couple things here, like the last 2 weeks or so, that have made me just kind of go, And I remember back when it all happened, when James was traded, what I had been told and was kind of very similar to what we're hearing. But James Harden on the E60, and this wasn't new, but they replayed over the weekend. he was, you know, very upset and very emotional about the trade.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, okay, that's from James. I actually bought it. I know a lot of people don't buy it. But the thing that put it over the top for me, if you read what Nick Collison said and what you wrote and his words about that, as he called it, a gut punch, and he talked about going to James's house, and he talked about the shock that they were both in, and just how difficult that was. That didn't sound to me like, even from the vantage point of Nick Collison, that James Harden wanted out or James Harden had any idea that he was actually going to be out.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly makes you kind of feel that way. And you know, I think this is one of those situations, Dusty, based on, you know, the reporting that I've done on it and things that I've heard over the years, that, you know, I think that you can hear both sides of this story, and I think the truth kind of lies in the middle of it all. I think that in a lot of ways, James Harden, I think, was stunned, because I think that he was kind of shocked that the Thunder went ahead and pulled that trigger and went ahead and did it. But I can say with 100% confidence that James Harden was well aware that the Thunder were going to trade him if he didn't take that deal. He was made very aware of that. And I think maybe he sat there and he thought, no, they're just bluffing. You know, that's just a big bluff. They're not going to actually go through with it. And maybe that's where some of the shock kind of came from, or that, you know, there was maybe that kind of instantaneous regret of like, oh my gosh, why didn't I take it? You know, but, you know, I don't think that this was the type of thing that James Harden was, you know, openly discussing with teammates before the deal happened. You know, I think that he was kind of handling his business internally. I mean, the chips were on the table pretty clearly from both sides. And, you know, I can say that both sides, I think, were fairly transparent with each other going up into that final day on Saturday. And, you know, once the Thunder basically made their final offer and said, this is the final offer, and if you don't take it, we have a deal lined up and we will trade you. And he turned it down. You know, I mean, it's one of those things where he can be surprised about it. But, you know, I think that James Harden has, you know, I've seen the E60 thing myself, Dusty, and I think there has been kind of a desire to kind of revise history a little bit on that. But, you know, Harden and his representation kind of put the Thunder's feet to the fire with that whole situation by what they were pushing for and what they wanted. You know, I mean, the Thunder, look, was James.
We can't go back to that time. We can't go back to that time,
right?
Because we've seen how it unfolded. I mean,
right.
James Harden,
I mean,
became a superstar. It's not,
yeah,
it wasn't that James Harden was not a superstar at that time.
Exactly. And, you know, it's funny to me, Mark, you know, I hear people say this a lot now, that, man, maybe they should have traded Westbrook. Well, yeah, as you sit here in 2018, you might could say that. But if Sam Presti would have turned around and traded Russell Westbrook, a guy that just dropped 43 points in an NBA Finals game, had been, I think, to 3 All-Star games, was a tried-and-true superstar in the league, and traded that guy and held on to the one that shrunk up and shriveled in the Finals, people would go, what are you doing? This is the worst trade in NBA history. Yeah, maybe you could have gotten a little bit better. You could have gotten a bigger haul for James Harden. For Russell Westbrook rather than James Harden. But it would have been one of the biggest risks that anybody has ever taken if they did it. But you can sit here today and say it, like you said, this is all hindsight. And this all is based upon the fact that James Harden has become a Hall of Fame player. He's going to win the MVP this year. And I don't think the Thunder saw that necessarily happening. They believe James Harden was very, very good. But to this level of good, I think that there was a lot of skepticism around the league about how good he was. Look at the trade offers that were on the table. Look at the trade offers that were turned down. I mean, the Washington Wizards turned down Bradley Beal for James Harden. The Toronto Raptors turned down a deal that was based around Jonas Valanciunas. The Thunder offered him up for Klay Thompson. All these teams were turning down deals for James Harden because they were skeptical themselves.
What is the what's the future for Corey Brewer and Raymond Felton? Would they care enough to come back and play in Oklahoma City next season? Is it retirement, or is there demand for him around the league next season?
I don't know if there's a lot of demand for Corey Brewer. You know, I think that the Thunder would probably have a spot for him on a minimum level deal, Mark, just because, you know, Andre Roberson, I don't know, is going to be completely healthy and ready to go on opening night. You know, there's no really telling where Andre Roberson is going to be in terms of health. You know, there's been some feeling that maybe it might be until December until he's back to full health. So, you know, you might want to hold on to Corey Brewer for that reason alone, but there's not going to be a lot of market around him for the league. Now, Raymond Felton, I think that there might be a little bit of market. I don't think he'll necessarily get much more than the vet minimum, but he's somebody I think the Thunder would be very interested in bringing back just because of how effective he was. Look, Ray Felton was really what kept the Thunder from having just an atrociously bad bench Without Raymond Felton, the Thunder would have had just a terrible second unit. So I think you need Felton back. You know, the issue with him is, you know, in a situation where if Paul George were to re-sign, the Thunder would then kind of be looking to maybe not pinch pennies, but maybe be mindful of their financial situation. And a vet minimum for Raymond Felton at his age, with I don't know what year he would be in, maybe 13 or 14, versus a vet minimum for a guy in his 20s, you know, you save some significant dollars there. So, you know, maybe they might want to survey the market. But I'll say this, Felton has been pretty open about the fact that he would like to stay in Oklahoma City. And I think if Thunder extend him an offer, I think he'll probably accept it.
I'm glad you mentioned that if Paul George, if he re-signs, they may be basically pinching pennies. Jeremy Grant, I think, is of the utmost importance that you keep him. What do you think the chances – is Jeremy Grant staying dependent or not dependent on if Paul George signs? And I'm just wondering, do the Thunder have a number? And does that number raise if Paul George isn't in the fold, if they don't have that many dollars already allocated in salary?
Yeah, absolutely, Dusty. I mean, I think that Jeremy Grant's future with the Thunder is directly tied to what Paul George does. And I think in some ways it's also tied to how the Carmelo Anthony situation plays out as well. If the Thunder can kind of unburden themselves of Carmelo Anthony, you know, I think it makes keeping Jeremy Grant far more tenable, and I think it makes it far more realistic, and I think it makes it far more necessary as well, because Grant would become a much more significant player on the roster. But with in terms of George and how that affects it, for sure, you know, I think that the Thunder probably have a pretty solid number in mind that they're willing to go to. Because, look, it's one of those things where, you know, you can sign Jeremy Grant, and if you get him at a deal that you think is market value or even below, look, he becomes a tradable asset. I mean, this is a business. This is the way it works. And while Jeremy Grant would maybe be, you know, I don't think he's going to necessarily be sacrificing dollars to stay with the Thunder, but if maybe the offers don't come in at a number that the Thunder expected them to, and maybe they come in below market value just based on how free agency plays out, and the Thunder get him for less than that, they're gonna re-sign him, even though people might react to that and say, oh my goodness, how could you do that? Your luxury tax bill. Thunder are gonna sign him probably just for the fact that he's a valuable asset, and they have an opportunity to put that on the roster. So I do think it is tied, though, to what Paul George is, just in terms of where the numbers are gonna fall at.
Did you ever see the movie Wildcats with Goldie Hawn?
Great movie.
You know what her name was in that movie?
No, I haven't seen that.
Molly McGrath. Anyway, speaking of a female coach, Detroit Pistons, I saw a little bit of rumor online that they might be interested in hiring Becky Hammon. Do you think that Becky Hammon could be hired as a head coach this go-around?
I don't think so. I mean, look, this is a loaded topic, and everybody's quite sensitive about it. I think everybody's a little bit afraid to talk real about
everyone
it.
Everyone loves everyone here. It's a Jackie Moon. It's a Flint Tropics. You know, we're okay.
But look, it is unprecedented in a lot of regards for a second row assistant coach in the NBA to jump the line in this regard. And I'm not saying it's necessarily, you know, she might be incredibly qualified. She's a professional basketball player. So, you know, if you want to look at her in that regard, you know, it's no different than Jason Kidd or Derek Fisher getting a job, or Jerry Stackhouse potentially jumping in. But, you know, she doesn't have any head coaching experience. She has very limited NBA. I mean, look, Brett Brown was Greg Popovich's assistant coach for 17 years in San Antonio before he got his head coaching gig with the Philadelphia 76ers. So, you know, is Becky Hammon qualified? I don't know. I mean, I can't sit here and tell you that. I have no idea if she's ready to be an NBA head coach. That's for the people in the interview process to decide. I can just tell you that it would be fairly unprecedented for her to make that big of a leap from a second-row NBA assistant coach to a head coach in the NBA.
I think it's crazy, to be honest with you. I'll just say it. I think it's crazy. For all the things you just said, it'd be unprecedented. Put that she's a woman aside. Like, what you just said is all true. She hasn't even sat on the bench yet of an NBA basketball team. She hasn't been a first assistant, a second assistant. Like, I mean, there's typically, not always, but there's an order of progression, right? I mean, it's kind of the way that it goes, at least the way it's gone in NBA history. So it would almost feel like if she jumped all those steps, that it would be strictly because she's a woman and someone's wanting to make a point.
Yeah. I mean, that's basically where I think things stand, but I think most people are a little bit afraid to say that, Dusty.
Oh, am I not supposed to say that out loud?
No, that's what I'm saying.
This is what we do on the radio, though. Like, all the things that some people are thinking, we have to verbalize them.
No, you're exactly right. No, I'm not criticizing.
And I'm not saying she's not qualified or she is qualified. All I'm saying is that I mean, if things are done a certain way in the NBA forever and all of a sudden they aren't, well, then
you kind of have to peel it back and say, well, why are we doing this? And I think the answer is standing there quite obvious in everyone's face. And look, and it works the opposite way. There should be no one that should say that, you know, she shouldn't be hired because she's a woman, because that's not fair either. You know what
Correct.
I mean? But I think that if you want to be fair in this situation, and then you have to look at it from both ends of the spectrum. And I think it's exactly what you're saying, that if she's going to jump the line, you kind of have to ask yourself, well, why is she doing it? And look, you can play out the she's a professional basketball player card, and I can understand that, but she doesn't have experience in this professional sports league. The NBA is different than the WNBA. That's just a reality. So she is a professional basketball player, but she was a female professional basketball player, so it's different.
You guys know that there's already been a precedent set here, and it's not Molly McGrath.
Not Wildcats?
I mean, we've had a female head coach for the New York Knicks. Can you name him? Can you name her?
Can I name him?
Her. Can you name her?
No.
Whoopi Goldberg and Eddie. You didn't watch Eddie
in
the day. I was the only one. I was the only one that watched Eddie.
There have been
I think
very
you're literally
few
the only
movies,
person that's ever seen it.
There's been very few good movies made about basketball.
I don't know. I mean, there was one like Celtic Pride. Did you ever see that one? That was pretty good.
Fish that saved Pittsburgh.
You want a man, right? That's kind of
yeah. I couldn't make it through.
The Space Jam count.
Yeah, absolutely counts. Hey, Royce, can you give me a prediction? What's going to happen this weekend? We got Eastern Conference Finals Saturday. We got Western Conference Finals on Sunday.
Give me the Cavs in Game 3 just because I got to believe in LeBron. I can't believe LeBron is going to get swept in a playoff series. So give me the Cavs. And I think, you know, the Warriors historically play wonderful in Game 4s. Game 3s, they've always kind of fallen asleep for some reason. But I think this Game 3 is different. But I do think this Game 3 is different because I think the Rockets got their attention. Look, I've got the Rockets winning the series still. And I'm not backing down quite from that yet. But I think the Warriors will win Game 3.
I think Game 4 is the one that they can steal on the road. I'm with you on that, Royce. I think Game 3, Golden State, as bad as they got blown out, they're going to show up to play Sunday night. So,
yep, agreed.
Hey, great stuff. Hey, appreciate it, Royce.
All right, see you all.
All right, there you go, Royce Young of ESPN.
Yeah, we're cooking with gas in here.
Peanut brittle?
What about peanut brittle?
My phone's blowing up. We got
my phone.
The Ultimate's worked up. Curtis Fitzpatrick is trying to tell us about something. I mean, what's going on?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Can't believe, Missile, did you see Eddie?
No.
I'm about to take off on a, by the way, we're cutting some grass. We got mowers going right here at Country Equipment, 8901 South I-35 here in Oklahoma City. They've got great deals going on. 0% APR financing for 60 months on certain Kubota tractors. The number one destination for Kubota tractors. Will continue to tell you more after this on the Monsters of the Midday. Today, it is time for our Mid-America Christian University educated guest. Where do you want to go? You want to go hoops? You want to go on the Preakness? You want to say, give our educated guess on what we think happens with Kyler Murray? Mark, you pick the parameters and I'll follow suit. What you got?
I'm going off the board with Kevin Harvick wins a NASCAR All-Star race in Charlotte on Saturday night.
Well, you're going rogue because I'm not going there. Jeez Louise.
It's okay. I'm just trying to help you out.
Okay. I'm going to just make it simple on myself. I'm going to say the Cavs win and the Warriors win. Teams get back home and they're going
to
win games.
Glad to see that you're on the Warriors bandwagon now.
No. Game 4 is where, listen, I'm not going to be rooting for the Golden State Warriors like you. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
You've really changed here in these NBA playoffs, hasn't he, Missile? I don't even recognize Mark anymore.
I know what I'm
anymore.
Looking at. That's all. Whether
yeah.
I like it or not.
Oh, yeah. He's
I
changed.
I can identify.
I mean, this guy wants to marry Brad Stevens, and he's already basically said the Golden State Warriors are the greatest team in the history of the
Wait,
NBA.
Craig wants to marry Brad Stevens.
You're right, but I mean,
you have to fight Craig.
Okay,
off
just wait a minute.
Close to Brad Stevens.
You have fallen in love though with this Boston Celtics team.
I just appreciate the way that they play team basketball and overachieve. Now Golden State plays team basketball and has better players. That's it.
Okay, I'm just saying, there's been a lot of changing from you here in this NBA postseason.
How?
What do you mean how?
I picked the Warriors. You picked the Rockets. It's okay.
Yes, I understand, but also you've already flip-flopped on the other series. you're all over the place. You got bets with Craig that Cleveland's going to win. You got bets with me that Boston's going
to
win.
You have to flip-flop today, when the Celtics win four.
Today you finally have said that you're taking the Celtics to win the series. I mean, you've been all over the place. That's what I'm saying. I don't even recognize you anymore. Like, you are, like, outwardly rooting for the Golden State Warriors now.
The Celtics.
You have let the morning animals – you have let the morning animals poison that quality brain of yours, Mark, and it makes me sad. Makes me sad. I don't even know you.
Yeah, it's hard to root for the Warriors.
Now, let me just throw this out there before we depart today. This is fantastic. You know, Draymond Green, he's feisty, right?
Very.
Guess who else is feisty? His mama, Mary Babers. So Mary Babers, she might be starting a little conflict there within the locker room of the Golden State Warriors, because Mary Babers, she took to Twitter, and she was very, very critical of one Kevin Durant. And you and I both know, if it's on Twitter, Kevin Durant, he knows about it, and he's offended by it. So this is what transpired yesterday on Twitter. Actually, throughout the course of today and yesterday. Mary Babers hits up somebody on Twitter because they were saying something about KD taking too many shots, and she says, straight ISO. Somebody else says, what are you talking about? He took 22 shots and had 38. Sounds like a good game to me. The problem was everybody else. Not in Mary Babers' opinion. She says, what are you talking about? There's more to a game than shots. It left everyone else standing around never to get into position. All caps, swing the ball. Pass the ball, and around the 7-second mark, take the shot. Not at the 21-second mark. All caps, ISO, ISO, ISO. They beat us at our own game. She's calling out Kevin Durant, saying that he's playing ISO ball. He's changing what made them great in Golden State. I'm just going to tell you, KD's going to be offended, and there's a chance Mama Wanda's going to be offended. We could have a throwdown if Kevin Durant continues to take north of 20 shots a game.
Look who's in her background of her profile pic.
Wanda.
Yep, there you go.
What does that matter? Because they're friends?
And you know whose tweets?
She just called out her baby. That's Wanda's baby.
Similar to Carrie
Mary
Murdoch.
Mary Babers is calling out.
Sometimes there are tweets that are sent that are sometimes then deleted. I don't see these tweets.
Huh?
I don't see the tweets. They're gone.
She probably deleted them.
She deleted them.
But it doesn't mean it didn't happen. Kevin Durant's deleted a lot of stuff.
I think if you delete a tweet, that means you're backing down. You're coming off of that.
Oh, I don't know, Missile. What do you think? Is Kevin Durant, whether we know or not, I guarantee you this made him mad. This could be the first splinter in the bond of KD and Draymond.
It might be. I don't know. I think
this is where it's unraveling, Dusty. You're exactly right. I think you've seen it in the future. These two moms are going to go at it, and the Golden State Warriors, with all that basketball talent, the four All-Stars and the other All-Star, Andre Iguodala, are going to wilt and fade away, and the Houston Rockets are going to beat them. And it's all going to be, not this time, not Draymond Green's fault, but Draymond Green's mom's fault. That's what's going to happen.
All I'm saying is Kevin Durant is as sensitive an athlete and superstar as I have ever seen. We have seen him with burner accounts come after people. We've seen all kinds of crazy stuff on Twitter. I just think Draymond better remind his mom how sensitive KD is, because I don't think he likes to be called out, and I can't imagine he likes to be called out by one of his teammates' mom.
The way the Rockets are guarding the Warriors, I don't mind KD taking those shots. They're good shots. He's shooting a high percentage in this series.
I wonder if Mary Babers is going to be trying to get – sounds like, based off of her analysis, she might want to get a job on the bench of the Golden State Warriors.
Maybe the Pistons will hire her.
Maybe she's going to be
the first
female coach in the NBA. On that note, we will depart you. I hope everyone has a fantastic weekend. If you get a chance when you're out and about this weekend, come by Country Equipment, 8901 South I-35 here in Oklahoma City. Kubota tractors, Polaris ATV, side-by-sides, mowers, edgers, they've got them all. And great discounts going on. You can get 0% APR financing for 60 months on Kubota tractors, and Country Equipment is the number one destination for Kubota tractors in Oklahoma. Give them a call. Come by right here, 8901 South I-35 at Country Equipment. Enjoy the weekend. Enjoy the great weather. and all the sports, and we'll discuss on Monday. Till then, keep it right here. Jim Traber, The Ultimate, up next. You're listening to 98.1 WWLS, the sports animal.